Yeah, God is good. Amen. As I was praying in my heart, you know, the word is about trust in the timing of God. You know, the scripture is very clear about timing, not about being late, but, you know, God is, tell your neighbor, God is never too early or too late. He's always on time. Come on, tell your neighbor, God is never too early or too late. He's always on time. He's always on time. Come on, he's always on time. Meaning he come in at the time when you needed him most. He will be there at the time when you needed him most. You know, he says, in the beginning, God created, there is a time frame. Then he said, Revelations talk about there will be the time when Jesus will come again. There is always a time frame set. Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything. There is a season for every activity under the sun. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, he went on to say, in his time, he makes all things. Come on, he makes all things. And he has set eternity in the hearts of men, and men cannot fathom it. You see, God has set time. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, it's very clear. He says to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were called, I have set you. Before you were born, I have set you apart. The set time of God, the appointed time of God. We just have to trust in his appointed time. You were born at an appointed time. You were born at an appointed time. Did I hear an amen? Amen. You are called at an appointed time. It is not about who called you, who you belong to or where you stay. It's about whom you belong to. Amen? Amen. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. I just stepped out from Glad Tidings Petaling Jaya, by the way. You know, I just resigned last year. Isn't it good? I'm 55. I was 55 last year. I was. And I say, Lord, I'm 55, and you asked me to step out. Your pastor stepped out at 60. I'm his junior. That is always, huh?
You're not coming next week.
You know, it's his time to speak at me, right? You know, there's always an appointed time. You know, God called me to the ministry in 78, you know, after I was demon-possessed and delivered, you know, at 17. But I didn't enter the ministry until I was 22. That was about 5 years later. And I thought I was serving in one church and I left the other church, not because I wanted to, because the Lord called me out. And I came to this church. I've served in this church, Glad Tidings, for 26 years. And how many of you know that, you know, you thought you'd be in the church and you'd probably die in the church, right? So 26 years being there, I'm 55. I've reached retirement age. I should die. I've raised up at least 12 plus 1, 13 pastors there. And they can all take over all the different positions of the church. If you go to Glad Tidings, join us up there, you'll be in Glad Tidings. They have taken over the worship ministry, the equip ministry, all the different zones, the children, the youth, everything. And actually, I should be happy to remain in that church. But how many of you know God is higher? Come on, his ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. And he has a set time for every one of us. In the kingdom of God, there is no retirement. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, do I hear? Hallelujah, amen? Come on. Come on. My sisters here are still praying for souls to come in. And he's praying for you to go out. Are you going out? Come on, I'm sure you're praying, right? You're praying for souls to come in, and you're praying for young people to go out and bring the lost. Amen?
Amen?
Are you hearing? Come on, there is a set time for every one of us. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed to man once to die. After this come judgment. Appointed to man once to die. There is a set time. Hello? Are you walking in your set time? Are you walking in that divine order? Are you walking in that divine appointed time? Or are you resisting it? Are you saying, Lord, no, this is not the time for me. I could have stayed back. You could have stayed back in your previous church. What's the name of your previous church? I've asked him 10 times and I'm still asking again.
Church of Praise.
Church of Praise. No, there was another one before Church of Praise. When you came here.
Australia for Christ.
Australia for Christ? Australia for Christ Fellowship. I always forget, but Life Solution, I can remember. You're meant to be here. So are you. Hallelujah. Come on. Serious. And so I say, Lord, how can I step out now? I shouldn't step out now, you know, but, you know, God's ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. And so I thought after going through, you know, after this, and I thought I want to take a break, yeah? I step out in December. I wanted to take a break for a while before I start again. But December 30th, the Lord spoke to me and says, Julie, time to start. I said, Lord, I need a break. 26 years in Glad Tidings. I need a break. How many of you know the best break you can have is in the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, I just love this song this morning. Hallelujah. What? How do you sing this song? Lamb of God. How do you sing the song again? Oh, my goodness. I just thought that's the song, man. Hallelujah. Come on. You sing with that God Almighty reigns, man. He has your time in His hand. He has you carved in the palm of His hand. Wow. Hallelujah. 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 Sing it with gusto. Come on. It's a victorious song. Holy. He's holy. He's Lord God Almighty sitting on that throne. He reigns above all. He's sovereign. He's Lord God Almighty. He is I am that I am. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what it is. He has, you know, oh, you are holy. Holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb in heaven. They bring their crowns before the throne of God, the 24 elders, and say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. There is an appointed time. When Abraham was called in Genesis chapter 12 to the earth, from out of earth or Chaldean to the promised land, he was 75 years old. But you see, the promised seed did not come until he was 100 years old. He waited 25 years. Is that too long to wait? I like that. But you and I know when you wait for a promise, one day is like eternity. 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. He's waiting. He's still waiting. 12 years, he's still waiting. 15 years. Of course, along the way, Ishmael came along. But that's not the seed that God has promised him. And then he waited again 20 years. To wait for 20 years. 21, 22, 23, 24, 24 1 month, 24 2 months, 24 and a half, and finally 25th year. Are you getting me? He waited. Moses was called. Moses was called as the prince of Egypt during that time, and when the Lord called him, he was 40 years old. But because of an incident of killing one of the Egyptian, who bullied, I use the word bully, Bible don't have the word bully, but anyway. You know, so he was sent out into the wilderness. He waited another 40 years. That's long, my friend. But at the appointed time, at the right time, at the set time, the Lord told him, Moses, it's time now. At 80 years old, how many of you are 80 years old and above here? Not many, not even one here. Do you see? 80 years. Of course, those days, they live a bit longer than us. But you see, at 80 years, God called him. Now it's time for you to face Pharaoh encounter. But by the time, and so when he brought them out, he was 80 years old. They were in the wilderness another 40 years. That's a long time, friend. Tell your neighbor, that's a long, long time. And he didn't live to see the promised land, but he didn't live to enter the promised land. It is one thing to have the promise of God. It is another thing to see the promise of God, but it's another thing to enter the promised land. And Joshua took over. He didn't know what to do. But at the appointed time, the Lord spoke to him and said, Joshua, it's time now. It's time. Get up now. Get up. He didn't know what to do. You read the scripture. You read Joshua chapter 1. Moses died. And Joshua didn't know what to do. You know, when the Lord spoke to Joshua, says, now. Now, I like the word now in the Bible. But do you know the word now and soon can be longer than what you think? When the Lord promised you, I remember the Lord, you know, I was praying for my god sister, which is David's mom, for the first child. And I said to her, the Lord said, now you will have your, you will have your son soon. We waited another 2 more years. So I've learned prophetically when the Lord said now, when the Lord says soon, when the Lord said this is the time, it is not your time. Because God is not constrained by the time and space of earth. Because one day to God is how many years? Come on. 1,000 to us, that's a long time. Tell your neighbor, that's a long time. That's a long time, but it's only one day to God. Come on, tell your neighbor. It's only one day to God, but that's a long time. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't it? You know why he will not leave you or forsake you? That's why he told Joshua, I will not leave you or forsake you. He told Moses the same thing, my presence will go before you. You know, God is an interesting God. He promised you to be with you. He promised his presence will go with you. He promised that I will bless you. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. He told Abraham. But when you say all these things, on the other hand, it's a long time. Tell your neighbor, it's a long time. But it's a good long time. Amen. Hallelujah. Esther was made queen. According to studies, she took another 5 years before she killed Haman. 5 years. David, according to studies, he became king at the age of 30. But he was anointed prior to that. Some scholars say he was anointed as a teenager. Some say he was anointed at 20-something. But whatever it is, he at least waited for 5 years and above. And during that 5 years, what happened to his life? It was not easy. It was not a bed of roses. What happened to his life in that 5 years? He was like a fugitive. He was running for his life. He has to encounter all sorts of challenges and threats. But say it with me, it's good for our soul. It's good for our soul, come on. Because God takes a long time sometimes to prepare us. We need the preparation. Amen. Have you ever seen a pot being in a kiln? You call it kiln, K-I-L-N? Can you take it up prematurely in the fire, from the fire? You can. You can. Can you give it less fire? No, it's got to be in the thousands of degrees. It's got to be inside there for a certain number of time. Set time. And then the vessel will come forth. Some of us in the midst of the trial, the fire is too hot. Oh, we are uncomfortable. We don't like it. We say, no, Lord, take me out. Yeah, he'll take you out. But you break again. Because you're not ready for the... You're not ready. You got to be ready. You got to stay in for the firing all the way. The potter and the clay, Jeremiah. He says, I saw in the potter's hand the clay that was marred again. If you want to be marred again, go through it. Come on, go through the fire. Tell your neighbor, go through the fire. Beautiful thing. Isaiah said, when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. Oh, glory. He goes before us. He's with us. Can you take a pupa out prematurely? How do you call it, pupa? You know, like the butterfly, the egg, and then the caterpillar, pupa. Can you take it out prematurely? You know, as a kid, I remember one of my friends is like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, man, come on. And then, come on, next day, come on, next day, come on. And the person open it up. Who's dead? If you open up, if you take something prematurely, are you getting me? Yes, the butterfly will die. But the metamorphosis have to carry on. That thing have to take place. Metamorpho in the Greek, Romans 12:1. Renewal of your mind. That word in the Greek is metamorpho. Metamorphosis came from there. A renewal takes time. There's got to be period of incubation. There's got to be also period of firing like that in that furnace. There's got to be all these things so that change can take place. Change can, now in the process, you've got to trust the potter who is firing you. He said, I'm the potter, you're the clay. You got to trust the creator that's creating you through that process. You got to trust him. Butterfly cannot say, I want to come out now. No. The baby in the womb takes how many months? Come on. Huh? Psalms 139 says, yeah, he has seen your unwove, you know, he wove you in your mother's, he knitted you in your mother's womb. He has seen our unformed bodies. How many months does it take? 9 months. Mothers, you know you cannot see what's inside, but you trust God. Fathers, you know you can't see what's inside, but you got to trust God. There's something going on inside you. Something is changing. Your shape is also changing. Beautiful. Yeah? Our shape changes. The pain comes. Hallelujah. The joy comes after. Like birth pang, scriptures in Corinthians. Like one in birth pang. Travail in birth pang. No pain, no. So clever. It's not in the Bible, by the way. But yet there is. Luke 9:23. If any man were to come after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Gotta get it. Don't be afraid of pain. Don't be afraid of sacrifice. Don't be afraid of going through the process. It's good for you. Go through that fire. Go through that molding and the shaping. Go through it. Go through that breaking. It's good for us. Trust in the Lord. That's what it says. I give a few scriptures on trust there, but I want to talk about timing for a while. Because timing is important. You will miss the mark when you miss the timing of God. Are you getting me? So important. Galatians 4:4 says, at the set time, Jesus came. It was all in the timing of God at the set time. Are you walking in the timing of God? Are you embracing the timing and the appointment of God? Or are you saying, God, I'm chickening out? You know, back in Malaysia, we are organizing under the National Evangelical Fellowship and the Catholics and all. So they want to have a stadium, a big stadium that can contain 40 to 50,000 people's rally in July. And that when Assemblies of God, we have one in September that's going to contain about 10,000 people. So I'm coordinating that, and they say, ask me to coordinate this as well, all the interdenomination. Says, Julie, we make you the chief coordinator. And I say, no, I'm not. I've got too many things. And the chairman came to me and said this. Listen up. Says, Julie, this is the year of the rooster. Why are you chickening out? I look at him. I said, because I'm not a chicken. I am an eagle. I don't peck, but I soar. Hallelujah. Because Isaiah 40 said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. 40:30. You will mount up with wings as eagles, but you got to wait. Waiting has a time frame. But at the set time, you will soar with wings and eagles. You're not a chicken. You don't peck around, but you're an eagle and you saw the sky. Hallelujah. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. That's why, have you seen a scripture in the Bible that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall become a chicken? And they shall peck on the ground and see the worms and become like one? No. And retreat when this whatever threats come and they start to cluck around? No, you saw like an eagle. An eagle takes the sky. An eagle has this wind of the Spirit beneath its wings. Whoa! An eagle does not flap. An eagle can only soar. You will soar like an eagle with the wind of the Holy Spirit beneath your wings. And you will take territories. And you will take heights. Life solution. That's what you are. That's what you are. At the appointed time, God will send someone to your office. At the appointed time, you will have deals that will be closed. At the appointed time, your business will be blessed. At the appointed time, you get your promotion. At the appointed time, you will have your success. At the appointed time. But wait, you must. Tell your neighbor, it's a long wait, but it's worth it. Come on. Are there quitters here? No, that's right. You're a winner, not the loser. You're the head, not the tail. You're the victor, not the victim. You're the conqueror, not the conquered. Amen? Amen? That's what we are. Because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Get it, man. I don't know. I just felt I needed to just, hey, at the right time. At the right time, growth will come. Do you know? Corinthians says, apostles, Paul, they can plant, they can water. But it's God that gives the growth. At the appointed time, the growth will come. You see, some of you have been crying and praying for souls, reaching out. You say, Lord, how come? I mean, you know, my family almost all have been saved. My father is saved. My father used to be, you know, my story of my father and my brother is saved. My brother used to work in the temple, hates the church, never want to come to church. But now he's serving the church. Come on. Hallelujah. I've started my church service. And now who is the one cleaning up the church and, you know, being the gatekeeper? My brother. One who will not step into church. One who sleeps in the Chinese temple, the Buddhist temple, and cleans the temple. Now, he cleans the church of God. Come on. A keeper in the house of God. And I told my brother, my older brother, by the way, I said, now you're a keeper in the house of God. And he took it with pride. The night before, he vacuumed all the chairs. He wiped off the chairs. And when people, you know, the Mongolian pastors were with me, they said, can we help? No, no, no. And he played Christian music. Oh, and he does it with joy. My brother is not young, he's 60 now. Yeah, and I'm younger, definitely. Oh, I need to give it joy at the appointment. Are you getting me? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. And you know, at the appointed time, God is doing something in my mother's heart now. I was in Israel with Beatrice, by the way. We were in last year. Normally, I would dance, but I don't dance the way I would dance in Israel. Serious. I'm quite contained in my dancing, right? I mean, I just clap, you know. But when I was in Israel, I just went full-fledged. I mean, when I say full-fledged, it's full-fledged. So much so until these people took video of me. I don't care. One elderly man, I taking video of you, no? No, the wife is next to him. Qualify, Uncle George. And you know what? I saw dreams, I saw visions, not dreams, I was awake. And I saw God dispatching the angels and so on and so forth. And the Lord said, I'll dispatch my angels for you. And when I came back, my mom used to curse and swear. Now she sees me. Even last night when I was on the phone with her, she would say, hey, wait. Hallelujah. Amen. She doesn't know how to pray for me. So she'll just say, wait, before you go, hallelujah, amen. Last time, she won't want to use the amen. You know why? Because he's a man. Because of what my father and her went through, she's got nothing to do with men. What? Amen? Amen? Tell me, amen. My man. Don't want men. She don't want men because... You know, my mom and my dad separated and had divorced and so. So she just had nothing to do with men. So every time I say, come, we pray. I was trying to get her into it. Fong ya so amia, in Jesus' name, come amen. My la, men. No one la, men. But now, hey, Tanje, before you leave, hallelujah, amen. Then I, hallelujah, amen. Awesome, right? At the right time. I tell you, at his appointed time. In the last days was an appointed time. I'll pour out my spirit. It's an appointed time. At the appointed time, you shifted out. Pastor Kelvin shifted out with his family members. How many of you started a church? When you came out? 12 and 10, look at it. Now come on, give God the glory. Come on. Sometimes we forget, you know. Because you know what? We thought, wow, we want more. Hey, don't forget what God has done. You were 12. Now how many are you? I also don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 200. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, enlarge the faith. You got to enlarge it, stretch it, vision it. Come on, these chairs are not enough. Amen? Amen? At the right time. These chairs will not be enough. At the right time, you have more than all these worship people. You multiply yourself at the right time. But you see, it's before that appointed time comes. What are you doing? Sorry? Say it.
Huh? Yeah, wait upon the Lord.
Yeah, wait upon the Lord and become a chicken?
So like eagle.
Yeah, so like eagle. Hallelujah. That's right. So like eagle. I'm serious. Appointed time. And so the Lord told me, so I started my first service. Some of my family members came. And then we went on. And you know, non-Christians started coming. I was excited. So I started preaching I had it on Saturday at 5. One of the Saturday, my relatives came and I was talking about children being, you know, sons are gifts from God, perfect gift of God, and they are the arrows in our quiver. And so I say, parents, you got to know at the appointed time, at the right time, when to release your children. Do I hear an amen? And that's got to be on target. Then one of my relatives said, "Ayo, if I let the arrow go, won't come back, oh." Won't come back, oh. It didn't cross my mind because she's not a Christian. So she heard about releasing the arrow at the set time because they are your arrows. But she said the arrow won't come back. Ah, the Lord gave me an idea. I said, you know what? God will bring them back. Hallelujah. God will be the one at the side time. You allow God. You let go and let God. Amen. Then I say, and we always thought we want the best gift we thought must be money, must be power, all this. Then one of my non-Christian relatives put up the hand again. Say, no, I don't want all this. I want my health. I say, right, at the right time, God's going to touch you. And we prayed for her. I want you to know that God is on the throne. You sang the song, the Lord God Almighty reigns. That word Almighty means I am the I am. I am the supreme one. There is no other except me at the right time. He knows the plan he has for you. You know Jeremiah 29:11 says that I know I've the plan I have for you. Plan not to hurt you or to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. Amen. Amen. Trust in his timing. Proverbs 3. I give you a few pointers on trust. I'm a quick preacher. Don't worry. But I wrote this down. I want to say this to you. I wrote this. Nothing that happens to you is a surprise to God. For every setback is a comeback. Every failure is a restoration. Every kick out is a kickback. For every downtime is a soaring time. For every gloomy cloud, a silver lining. For every dark storm, a rainbow of promise. For every ash, you will have beauty for ashes. For every frustration, you have his joy as your strength. For every disappointment will be a God-given opportunity. For every death, a new beginning. You will come out stronger, not weaker, but better, not bitter. Amen. You're not defined by your past, but you're defined by your present that God has prepared you for your future. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh. God has something afresh for every one of us, but we must trust in him. Put our trust in him. Number one, you want to take notes, I give you the scriptures and then you go home and meditate. I woke up yesterday and the Lord told me to at least read this to you. Isaiah 43. It says, the Lord says, forget your past. Do not dwell on it. Behold, I'm doing a new thing and it will spring up. Do you not perceive it? Very clearly. That was a scripture for you. Isaiah 43 verse 18 downwards. It says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. You got to trust God that he will do a new thing. What is the new thing that you've been... New thing means new. New thing is not repairing the old. New thing is not taking the old and polish it and give a refurbish of it. No, it's a new thing. But to have the new thing, you got to forget the old. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on it. Are you ready for the new thing? Come on, something new is going to happen in this church. But you got to perceive it. You got to catch it. You got to see it. Don't come to church every week and say, oh, just another Sunday. Do you know I generally don't go to church just another Sunday? I go to church because it's another opportunity. Hallelujah. It's another opportunity. It's another weekend of opportunity. A weekday. Sunday is the first day, huh? It's another week of opportunity. Get ready for the next opportunity. Tomorrow you go to your office, you go to your school, you go to your community. That's going to be a new opportunity. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Perceive it in your heart. I'm perceiving it. And so this season of time, I'm just bringing a lot of my relatives to the Lord. It's so exciting. Really exciting. One young man so against Christianity when his son came for our vacation Bible school. We gave him a Bible. He took away the Bible from the son and says, don't touch the Bible again. He came for the service. And after the service, he came to me. You know what, Pastor Julie? Every word you say, didn't call me Pastor, call me Julie. Because relative, ma. Says, Julie, you know, every word you say just now, I know, no, can identify. I said, that's God speaking to you. I went to the wife, also non-Christian, against Christianity. I said, just now your husband, because that's the way to fish, ma. Just now your husband said, opportunity, come on. I said, just now your husband said, the word spoke to him like him. The wife said, yeah, it's true. I said, God also speaking to you. You see, that's it. Get excited. Okay, number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on you know this scripture. Where is it found? Proverbs where? And 5 and 6, very good. David, I'm sure you can quote this scripture. I make him quote this scripture. Quote it, quote it, quote it. Come on.
trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll make your
The word trust, The word trust in the Hebrew is batach, B-A-T-A-C-H. It actually means for one to have refuge in the Lord. When you trust, you have refuge in the Lord. It also means to have confidence in Him, to have assurance in Him, to be bold, to be secure, to have hope. That's what it meant. When you say you trust God, you have confidence that He will bring it to pass. You have assurance that it's going to be there. You have all these things. Amen? So trust Him, number one. Trust Him, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord, and He will, with all your heart, and He will direct your path. That's the first thing He will do. Okay? Secondly, trust, and He will give you perfect peace. What does it say? Isaiah 26, 3 to 4, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If you trust in the Lord, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, you know, in all your things, with prayer and supplication, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. That's Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Trust in him, and he will give you perfect peace. Do I hear an amen? So I think your pastor here said just now, don't let negative thoughts come in. Trust him with positive thoughts. Number three, trust and he will be with you. It says, Isaiah 43, 2. He says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be there. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. They will not sweep you, and so on and so forth. Trust him. Let's read together. Come on. When I put it as one, when I pass through the waters, God will be with me. When I pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over me. When I walk through the fire, I'll not be burned. The flames will not set me ablaze. Trust him and you'll not be burned. Trust him and you'll not be drowned. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Can a musician? I'm going to end very soon. Number four, trust him and you will be blessed. Jeremiah 17, 7. To 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. You are blessed when you trust in the Lord. You want to be blessed? Trust him. Trust him. He has set the time for you, but you got to trust him and you will be blessed. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Okay, let's read. You always have all the scriptures there. Let's read that. One, two, go. But blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Blessed, the trust and confidence come together. Always know that. You can only trust someone when you have confidence in someone. And in the same Hebrew word, it talks about you're sure of that person. So when I'm sure of you, that same word, batak, for the word trust, it means this. When I'm sure of you, I have confidence in you, I can trust you. That's what it meant. When you say trust in the Lord, or blessed the man who trusts in the Lord, he will keep you in perfect peace if you trust in him. That word trust means this. I'm assured of you. I am sure of you. I have confidence in you. Therefore, I trust you because the same word also says, because I have hope in you. That one word has all this insight there. That when you say you trust God, you are sure of him. You're confident of him. You have hope in him. That's why you trust him. Do you trust the Lord this morning? Amen? He will never fail you. He will never fail you. Number five, trust him to protect you. You know this famous psalm, Psalms 91, 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You trust because he is your refuge and your fortress, and you will not be shaken. Trust him. Amen. Are you going through financial crisis? Financial situation? Trust him. This is an area I always trust God. Trust me, I don't know how to build a church, man. I've always been a junior pastor, you know. I'm always assisting somebody. You ask me to do a church, I don't know. I know how to save people on you. You understand what I'm saying? So I told God, I said, I don't know how to get church building. Pastor Kelvin is a pro. He knows how to do it. He knows how to pioneer, and you know, I don't know, but you know God is so good. Because he knows I'm not good. He impressed one of my pro temp committee, and he cried in his dream, asking me, what do you want me to do? Wow, that's awesome, man. And I saw a dream of a building. I said, God, I don't know how to do this. And do you know the place I'm planting my church is one of the most expensive areas? I said, God, Glen Mary. I said, where on earth am I? How on earth am I going to plant? So when I told all the pastors I'm going to plant there, they all said, sure, go ahead. Because nobody wants to go in that area. But God showed me a building and told me specifically that's the area. So I just have to trust him. Because the buildings there cost millions. And those millions are like millions, you know. I said, God, Glen Mary, you all know that, those of you who know Malaysia. I said, there's no way I can plant a church here. Hey, who said so? Who has the final say? I say, who has the final say? That's right. Jehovah has the final say. So I'm moving forward. I'm applying for Glen Mary. Can you imagine that? I don't even know how to build a church building. I don't even know how to do that. But I want you to know this. I'm going through this, as I believe your pastor is going through, that we are trusting God. Because all things. I hope next year when I come, I can tell you there's a building already. You all look at me like, you don't believe, huh? Huh? I mean, God showed me a dream. To dream the impossible dream. Come on. I hope so. I pray so. You pray with me as I'm praying with you. Amen? Amen. You're moving soon, right? Are we? I like that. They asked me, are we? Huh? You're taking this territory for Jesus, right?
Amen.
Amen? Amen? You have a dream. Okay, I have a dream. Okay, let's carry on. I'm just sharing from my heart. I hope you get where I'm coming from. Trust him to answer you. James 1:6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. That is trusting. Not doubting. That's the negative part. It's actually affirming belief. In other words, trust him. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Oh, he will bring it to pass. Amen. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Jesus say, Matthew 16:18, it says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I believe God will build his church. I believe life's solution is built by Jesus Christ and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Number 7, trust him to provide. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. They neither spin nor sow, yet our Heavenly Father provides for them. Trust him to provide. In all your ways, acknowledge him, he will direct. In all your ways, acknowledge him, he will provide. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I have a musician here this evening, this morning? Hallelujah. Kurambasanda labasande. When you feel down, look at the birds of the air. When things around you fall apart, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the flowers. Look at the stars. Look at the sky. Look up. I lift up my eyes unto the hills. See, the Bible talk about he will lift you up in due time. And then Psalms 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. God wants to lift us up. And God wants us to lift our eyes up too. He said, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? See. See, you can only see when you lift up your eyes. He says, don't say the 4 more months and harvest. Look, Jesus said, it's already ripe for harvest. John chapter 4, verse 35. Look. Hebrews 12. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It's about lifting up your eyes. It's about looking at Him. It's about seeing how He sees, not how you see. See from His perspective. Soar like an eagle and see from God's perspective. Trust Him. In due time, He makes all things beautiful. He makes all things bright. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.